each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Bozo's Circus is on the air. Bozo, the world's greatest clown. Oliver O'Oliver. Sandy the Tramp. Bob Smith. Bob Trendler and his Big Top Band. Master Ned, that's me. And a cast of thousands.
Good afternoon, loyal listeners. Whoops, a whistle blowing right there. But good afternoon, loyal listeners. Welcome to Winds of Change. This is producer Nick filling in for Mike, who's on his way in. Mike Stark, who just got stuck in Chicago traffic, but just be very careful out there getting there, as well as everyone else driving too. And welcome to the Winds of Change. We are very happy today, and we are very excited to welcome back a guest that's been on before, Father James Hyde. How are you, Father?
I'm doing great this morning. Thank you so much, Nick.
Thanks. Yes. Happy to have you back on with us. And also for all our loyal listeners and to everyone that's listening as well everywhere around, happy Mother's Day to everybody, too. We wanted to point that out because that was yesterday, and Father Hyde has something special in mind for that, don't you, Father?
I do indeed, yes. So,
So you can go ahead and start us off with that.
Well, thanks. it's great to be here, and I'm delighted again to return to the radio program, and yesterday was a big day with Mother's Day, so of course we extend our greetings and blessings to all our dear mothers, living and deceased. And in particular, it's Our Lady of Fatima feast day today.
Mm-hmm.
So she appeared, the Mother of God, in Portugal around the time of the First World War, and that is a special revelation and an apparition. So it's kind of timely that at this time when we celebrate Mother's Day, we think of Fatima, Our Lady of Fatima, and her message of peace for the world. So we wish our mothers all our very best and peace. And the church is a mother, too. So it's a great day today to think about these things. And today's topic, Mike Stark called me about 2 weeks ago, and he asked me to go on the program today, so I'm delighted to be here.
Yeah, I remember him talking about that.
Yeah, Mike and I have covered various topics before, sometimes sports figures who live the faith, or always trying to make a connection on how our faith...
With one thing in mind, yeah. I must say, I feel like I'm in a military briefing room here, because we've got papers all around the studio ready to talk about all sorts of stuff, including the U-505 submarine.
That's right. So our topic is, Mike and I have talked about different topics, but today's focus is more on spirituality or the religious dimension within a military context. And this came up, I went to visit the U-505. I haven't done this
great
for...
Great exhibit all the time.
Yeah, I haven't been there for almost like 25 years, and a friend of mine invited me. So off we went, and as you probably know, Nick, they cleaned it up a lot, and they moved it.
Yes, I always see the video. They speed it up, but they always show how long it would take to get that inside the museum, which is incredible for such a big ship as it is.
Quite an engineering feat. And when they first brought it in 1955, that also was quite an undertaking. And So thousands and thousands of Chicagoans and others have gone to that exhibit. It's really catapulted the Museum of Science and Industry.
Like I said, my dad likes looking at it too as well. When we go to the museum, he likes to try to get in and see the sub as well. And it's really cool to check it out too.
It is. And it's just awesome. It's and that dimension. So the topic today is the capture and placement of the German submarine U-505 and the role of the Gallery brothers. Two of them, Admiral Dan Gallery and Monsignor John Ireland Gallery. And so I want to, that's the topic today, you know, so going to see that dimension of, and in particular, I read a book recently, 20 Million Tons Under the Sea. Now, Dan Gallery, the admiral who captured the submarine off the west coast of Africa, Dan Gallery was a prolific writer, and he wrote this book, along with other books. He wrote about 10 books, some fiction, some nonfiction. And from this book, and I encourage our readers to, you can get it off Amazon, but 20 Million Tons Under the Sea, The Daring Capture of the U-505. After my visit on a beautiful day, I went down to the museum with a friend, as I say, he serves in the Navy. We got there and we had a wonderful day. I encourage people to go see it. And as you say, Nick, on the YouTube and on the internet, there's quite a bit of information.
Absolutely.
And, you know, books on the subject.
Mm-hmm. And it's that title that you got right there for the book that you just mentioned there has a certain ring to it to another one about another famous sub, too, I might add, as well.
Oh, yeah, yes. Yeah, there's subs, there were over 1,000 of them. And in the German Kriegsmarine. And so Gallery's quite the writer, quite the historian. And he breaks down the book. I won't go into the minutiae of the book today, but...
No spoilers.
No spoilers. No spoilers. But his brother now, Monsignor John Ireland Gallery, he was the one actually, he was a Navy chaplain, and he was one of our Chicago priests. So it was John Ireland Gallery who actually was the one who suggested, and I have it in the book, Dan admits it, that his brother, who was pastor at St. Cecilia on the south side, it no longer exists, it was John Ireland Gallery who brought it, encouraged our city to bring it here. So he was the impetus of all that. And mm-hmm. both of these men, along with their three other siblings, they were the sons of Mary Onahan Gallery, and she was a writer, noteworthy in the city of Chicago. She was her articles and were in the daily papers, and both of these men were in their respective fields. The admiral went to the Naval Academy, and then John Ireland, as I say, became one of our priests. So they were in their respective fields, but they knew how to spin a narrative. They knew how to tell a story. They had great Irish humor.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember back in the day, John Ireland called me up in 1990. I had written something that was featured in the paper, and he followed up on that. He called me one morning, and he said, "Father Hyde, good morning, and I'd like to talk to you." And he said to me, he said, "We got to bring the Muslims, the Jews, and the Catholics together." And so that led to a nice meeting with this priest who was in his 90s.
Wow.
I went to dinner with him, and I'll never forget that. So it's a blessing. So after going to this museum, after seeing the U-505, which has incredible history in and of itself, I thought, okay, this is kind of what Mike and I have been talking about, seeing how our faith, our religion, our spirituality is not just confined to the sanctuary. We're believers. We've been gifted with faith. We have doctrine. We believe in the Trinity. And at this time of the year, we're thinking of Easter, mm-hmm. Christ's, overcoming sin and death.
Yes, absolutely.
But how does the faith get carried out in our public forum in different fields? And today we concentrate, I'm not a historian of the U.S. Navy, but reading the book, it opened up some huge doors for me. So that's what the topic is today, and we'll kind of break it down as we go along.
Yes, keep going on that subject there, because it's a wonderful aspect to try to look at the different views or to try to see where faith goes into different areas, as you were saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. The Well, one of the beautiful things, first of all, Psalm 133, this is what really struck me. How blessed, behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. And
perfect with that, because a lot of men in the military, and nowadays it's men and women, but a lot of men in the military before used to speak of brotherhood and things like that, especially around when I've seen documentaries talking about World War II or ones like that, or even in Vietnam, I would say, because of how my dad served over there, too.
Mm. Oh, very good. Very good. You know, in 20 million tons under the sea, it was noted by some very prominent newspapers, and I'll get to that point in a second. In this book, which the Raleigh News and Observer said is one of the best nonfiction books about World War II, and the Chicago News said about the book, it's one of the war's most exciting memoirs. So Dan Gallery, in this book, which I encourage our people to get and to read, he covers that point about brotherhood. And certainly, at the end of the book, Dan acknowledges, and I'll get to that at the end of the program, he acknowledges his brother's participation or his role in bringing the submarine here. And but this point about brotherhood and teamwork is important. And in the book, he says about this teamwork is important, about molding a team together in the submarine. There's 60 or so guys in that submarine. And unity is important, teamwork, and it's something that all of us, not just the military, which I'm sure it's important to have this, but also in the church especially, I think we're all impacted today by the rampant individualism and the sense that we can do it on our own. And really, in essence, all of us have to work together as a team. And Dan, the Admiral, says... in the U-505, there was a change going on. They had three skippers throughout its history. And there's a point in the book, he says, a change was occurring inside the U-505, like the change that goes on in an egg during incubation. 60 strangers were adjusting themselves to each other, getting to know and to have confidence in their skipper and each other. And remember, there were three skippers on the U-505. Tragically, the second one committed suicide. But anyhow, so... They needed to work together, giving up pieces of their individuality and changing from an amorphous mass of strangers into an integrated, purposeful, intelligent whole, much greater than the sum of its original parts. So that was Admiral Dan Gallery, who went to, I believe, St. Ignatius College Prep. My dad actually was on a jury with him right before he died in 1977. My dad told me that. So so he was about teamwork. And yeah. Furthermore, he says later on page 87, and you can see his style of writing. He's quite the writer, and he'd make his mother very proud. I'm sure she was very proud of him.
Nice. Absolutely, and that fits in with Mother's Day, which we're talking about as well. So it all blends together, don't you?
Well, he's a chip off the old block, I guess, and we're nothing without our mothers, you know. And,
absolutely.
And one and all. So it's I think it's so beautiful here that she imparted to the boys this sense of service and this sense of, you know, being able to articulate and speak. And he goes on to say, and I'm going to conclude on that particular point about teamwork, everybody has got to allow for some weaknesses in each of the others and to keep his own weaknesses, which the others must allow for to a minimum. I don't mean to say that a subcrew get along together like nuns in a convent. And throughout this book, he has a lot of allusions to our Catholic faith. Mm. But every man on board has got to get along fairly well with every other. And... Mm. So basically on the U-505 and what I read in this particular book, and there are other books, and as you say, Nick, there's a lot on the internet in terms of this.
Yeah.
But Gallery, you know, he wrote this book in the mid-50s. He basically got all this information and he put it together. He thought quite a bit about this. I mean, in the book, he talks about the dynamics of the sub itself, all the technology, and he gives a description of that, about the ballasts. I learned a lot about that, about the water coming in and all the air and how the submarine operates. But what I'm interested in are these points, and the one being teamwork here. This is his first point. And so it's something today, I think, you know, our guys years ago at the seminary at Mundelein, when back in the day when it was established in 1926, it was said that Cardinal Mundelein brought the the manuals of Annapolis. And that's how our guys were trained.
Yeah.
They had their theology. They had all their liturgy of the hours. But they also, their training was very rigorous. Mm. And it compared to Annapolis.
Yeah.
And I like those connections. So teamwork is important, whether it be in the church, it be in the U.S. Navy. I think it's needed today more than ever, given this.
Absolutely, yeah, because I have a friend that served overseas, Troy, and he was talking about that too as well. And I go also work at a YMCA, and that values teamwork as well, and all my other jobs too. We're all on a team as well. But on that note, Father, we're going to take a break because Mike Stark is on his way in, and we'll get him on with you. And don't go away, listeners. This is producer Nick as well as Mike Stark sitting in for Father Anthony Bush. You're listening to listener-supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stan's School has an amazing PK 3 through 8th grade program focused on leadership and social-emotional learning and is one of the only schools to implement the Reading and Writing Project of Columbia University and the University of Chicago. Everyday math across the board, PK 3 through 8th, is taught by our highly educated and dedicated teachers. St. Stan's students are academically challenged with advanced level placement opportunities as their test scores and high school admissions speak volumes. St. Stan's is an integral part of the Wicker Park community, where you feel welcome and at home with other families and friends who enjoy the same warm, friendly, and safe atmosphere for their children. We have small classroom size, which makes a difference in the whole learning experience. Many schools have excellent programs. At St. Stan's, we empower students to be excellent. Join the St. Stan's family. It is a selective admissions process. Grades 1 through 8 are tested and interviewed. Call 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. Or stop by at 1255 North Noble Street. That's one block north of Division, just off the Kennedy. More information at ststanschicago.org. That's ststanschicago.org.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
There is a lot going on at St. Stan's. St. Stanislaus Koska is the sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. There is Eucharistic adoration before the iconic monstrance. Confessions 4 days per week, and masses in English, Polish, and Spanish. There's much more waiting for you here. St. Stan's is right off the Kennedy Expressway, just two blocks north of Division on Noble. Find out more by going to ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org, and enter into the presence of Christ.
Traffic just sucked. Yeah, I said that word. Yes, I did, Father. It's Mike Stark. I finally made it to the circus. Circus Maximus. And traffic, they closed the express lane. So I was shocked at that because I'm normally here on time. And since I've had the Bozo Circus intro, I've been late too. Nick's had to step in twice now in 3 weeks. I was here on time last week, but they... The one was so rainy and people don't know how to drive when it rains, but no offense to anyone out there, but today they just closed the express lanes and there was no traffic going either way. They weren't doing construction. I don't understand it, Father Jim.
Well, Michael, today we say welcome, and in St. Stanislaus, which is Polish background, we say Witamy, welcome, and it's good to have you.
Thanks for inviting me to my own show, buddy.
One way or another. I took over the ship just like Lieutenant Meyer. What happened on the U-505, there was
this in the Sea of Galilee?
No, it was...
Admiral Gallery? Is that what they named
Admiral Gallery.
The Sea of Galilee?
First... No, that's Galilee.
I just watched History of the World Part 1 last night with Father Michael Grezik. And
that's good.
I give you these 15, no, 10 commandments. All right, back to the seriousness of the show.
But, okay.
Let me explain that song we just heard. Do you know that song, Father?
Yeah, I might know it.
Why?
In my heyday, so...
Father James went to Notre Dame. He's a proud Golden Domer. And... I just wanted to give a quick shout out also to Armand, who's not. Armand is going to be having a colonoscopy tomorrow. And Nick's giving me that ooh look. Yeah, I've had one. And so Armand out there, we send our prayers to you, and I'm just glad I'm not your toilet.
Talking about Notre Dame. You know, I just got back from the Evangelium Vitae Awards dinner. And, talking about the fight song, and along the stadium, they have Duncan Hall, and we had a wonderful banquet for the Gospel of Life Awards, and they gave it to the Crisis Pregnancy Center in South Bend. So they are really cutting their teeth and doing great work, really standing out, the Center of Ethics and Culture at Notre Dame. So we applaud them. So it's nice to hear the fight song and also to talk about such things.
I got some more for you. Some more music for you later in the show, buddy.
But Gallery, believe it or not, the Galleries did not go to Notre Dame. They were, not all Irish go to Notre Dame, even though it's the Fighting Irish. But the Gallery brothers, they were, as I say, Dan earlier in the program,
think they went to Annapolis, eh?
Yeah, Dan went to Annapolis. And John Ireland, he graduated. I think he probably went to St. Mary's in Baltimore because those early classes in Chicago studied there, and then they came to Chicago. Well... We were talking about a number of things here, so we got to get back on focus. But there was a crisis on the U-505. The second skipper had a crisis, a meltdown, and they were being, the depth charges were being, and by 1943, pretty much there was a turn in the war, and definitely into 44. And the depth charges came down and was shaking up the ship. And it really, the skipper got unnerved and he lost his wits. And it was one of the lieutenants who stepped up at that crisis to give leadership. So I think the crew, at the very beginning, their first skipper, there was a lot of unity on board. And then the second came along, there was a crisis in leadership. But it does say to our earlier point about teamwork, when there's a sense of cohesiveness, esprit de corps, regardless of who the leader is or the skipper. It's certainly nice to have a good leader who steps up, who's knowledgeable, but the people did respond. So, Mike, in your absence, we did. This was the first time that I started the show with Nick. So
I listened.
It is what it is.
He wasn't kidding about all this stuff.
I don't want to.
What the heck, man? I mean, were you writing a book?
Well, we're commentating to
keep, you got so much information. There's so much paper here in the studio. It's ridiculous.
To get you up to date, the book we're talking about is 20 Million Tons Under the Sea.
I listened to
now,
the show.
Now, Gallery was, he was, as I say, fiction and nonfiction writer, and that came from his family lineage. His mother was a noted Chicago author. And she wrote a letter in 1924 to Cardinal Mundelein, and I found it in the archives. We have a wonderful archives in the Archdiocese, Megan Hall. She opened up the archives, and Mary Onahan Gallery, Dan's and John Ireland's mother wrote to the Cardinal, and it was issues about pro-life issues, actually, back in the early 20s. It was about the Birth Control League, and, Mary was very pro-life at the time, back in the 20s. She was giving good leadership, but she also talked about her boy, Dan Gallery, who was a lieutenant at the time, and also then about John Ireland, who was still in the seminary. So a lot of Chicago connections here with the U-505. It was, designed and built in Germany. A lot of its stay or it was home port was in L'Orient, in the north of France, and the Germans had a submarine base there, and they had a number of them. And she basically got throughout the Atlantic. She spent some time, as the Admiral talks about, in the Caribbean, and she sunk a Liberty ship at that time. So a lot of drama in this book, a lot of interest. You know, the way he weaves various topics, you know, he's giving a lot of history, some information on the ship, questions about the skipper's leadership. It's really a very, no wonder it got good reviews, this book that we're talking about today. So it makes, if you're going to go to the Museum of Science and Industry, if you're going to see the new...
Do they sell it in the bookstore or in the gift shop at the Science and Industry?
You think
they would, right?
I don't know. I would hope so. I mean, there's no... And this is kind of, again, what you and I like to deal with, Mike. We like to
have some fun.
We like to have some fun. And we like to kind of point out how our religion deals with, you know, how faith is not just confined to the sanctuary, but it's actually... People like Dan Gallery is talking about religion in this book, and that's the topic I'm going to get to next. But also his brother brought the priest this submarine to Chicago. So let me cover a little bit in the book about what Dan Gallery says about faith. Okay, so that's our next point. In the book on page 129, he says sailors instinctively understand this and believe in God because they have a better chance than men who stay ashore to observe and think about the handiwork of God. And I don't know if you would find this in a book today by an admiral so pronounced, you know, talking about sailors' faith and they believe in God. And then he goes on to say, they know instinctively that we in this universe were created by a supreme being more powerful than the effect which he created, and not simply by the haphazard operation of the laws of probability. So Dan is not only talking about what it means to be a good crew under a skipper, some of the crises that the U-505 had. He also goes into some of the other, he puts this into the larger battle of the Atlantic, which really was an amazing story. A lot of us hear about World War II, we're thinking about land battles. But he goes through the Battle of the Atlantic. So he's covering a lot of information, but he's putting this sense of faith. I don't know if today we would find someone writing this way.
Well, let's be clear about the Battle of the Atlantic and the Pacific. Obviously, the Pacific was, you know, more of a naval battle, war than it was, you know, island hopping and all that. So the Marines obviously had a lot to do with it. But in the Atlantic, the wolf packs were knocking out everything for the first part of the war until we took control of the Atlantic Ocean and were able to get our transports over there. A lot of that had to do with the radar that the British had developed at that point, finding where they were.
You are so smart. In German, Rudeltaktik, which means wolf pack in German. Rudeltaktik.
Wolfpack. Yes.
Rudeltaktik is wolf pack. And indeed, those were tactics that were used. And the ratio rate, I mean, at the beginning of the war, the U-packs, the wolf packs, were just one after another. Tons of shipping, and I came after reading this book to appreciate.
They're right off our coast.
Right, exactly, right off the Atlantic. But I came to appreciate more and more the sacrifice of the merchant marine in those Liberty ships. Hundreds were built, hundreds were sank in the early part of the Battle of the Atlantic. Many of them went down. In this book, they talk about the McKean Liberty ship. That when his the U-505 and the first skipper and the crew were down there in the Caribbean and they sunk that Liberty ship, so there was at the very beginning they had a lot of successes but then things, as I said, the second skipper committed suicide on the U-505, and then they had to kind of recapture, go back to get an esprit de corps again, and then it was finally captured. And he mentions that, of course, at the end of the book. So there was the Battle of Atlanta was very important. So amidst this battle, you have this struggle and these other things going on, keeping these crew together, keeping their morale, having good leadership. In terms of, I don't know if it, in terms of the German side, there was a discussion of their prayer life on board. I'm sure there were believers on board, but certainly on the American side, there's no question that Gallery felt comfortable with faith. He talks about it in his book in the mid-50s. He mentions how, actually certain cases where the chaplain, when he found, when he captured at the very end in 44, when he captured that U-boat, he had Father Weldon on the USS Guadalcanal. That was the task force that eventually, you know, captured the U-505. And Father Weldon, it, there's a little story about him and Gallery together, and they're praying and they're going to Mass together. So that's for me gratifying, very gratifying, and just a blessing. It's something that, you know, Americans, I believe, are, you know, that historical sense. We've become very ahistorical. And it's just very, very compelling and very heartwarming to see that the chaplain played a crucial role there in the battle when they got the U-505. And
now it's time for a commercial.
Okay,
before we go, Nick's not playing music because I don't use the headphones because they get my ears hot. I want to give a shout out to my boy Billy Nestos out there listening out there in Chicago. I'll be playing softball with him tonight. Haven't played softball, 16-inch softball, bare hands and bare knuckles, Father, in a few hours. So, commercial time. We'll be right back. Bye.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
The Winds of Change on AM 750. WNDZ, and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the Rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, two blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
Alrighty then, you guys, what the heck am I listening to? But Father Jim was a very good friend of mine. He's like a brother. Like we duke it out sometimes. But he's also been assigned to St. Constance, which is a Polish parish here in Chicago. And there's a lot of Polish people here in Chicago, so I thought I'd throw that out. Since we played the Notre Dame fight song in honor of where
we say in Polish "tak," which means yes, and we say "szczęść Boże," good morning, and God bless you. And Mother's Day in Polish, the word for Mother's Day is "żenmak."
So "żenmak." Okay, well then, happy "żenmak." I don't know what "dobra." I know that's one word. When we're doing work on.
Over at St. Constance.
I've been there, yeah.
And the beginning of St. Constance.
Polish nuns give me the bad looks. Like, what are you doing here? My name is Borat. So I wanted to bring that out. And I forgot. I got a text from Billy while we were on break. He's like, that's a Christian station, right? I said, yeah, it is. So I forgot to mention that Billy is my daughter Heather's godfather.
Oh, okay.
appreciate that too, Billy. All right, well, enjoy the show.
Hello, Billy.
Back to the point here.
Yes.
If there is one, I lose mine all the time.
Well,
it's all the head injuries I got from playing football.
I think that the point here is that the brothers dwell in unity, and the Gallery brothers, Dan and John Ireland, obviously there was a lot of teamwork. They had their own respective vocations, but they had an underlying faith and a decency. And from their mother, they were able to articulate in beautiful writing. And if you go to, as I said, and this is what Dan writes about his brother, and it's at the very end of the book, but he said that his brother, this is what he says about John Ireland Gallery. And John Ireland is a very important name because the Archbishop of St. Paul, Minneapolis, was called John Ireland. He was quite the archbishop. But anyhow, why not bring the U-505 to Chicago and make it a memorial to the thousands of seamen who had lost their lives in the great battles of the Atlantic? And these were two of the crucial battles in our history. And just think about the Battle of the Atlantic, all those supplies, the Lend-Lease, and also we supplied Russia, or what we called the Soviet Union at the time, even though Stalin tried to take over Warsaw in 1920, created revolution, this and that.
But, well, I have a philosophy on that. Mm-hmm. I think it might have been better if we followed General Patton's advice. I know I'm going to take people off, but, you know, I don't have a filter. Maybe even if the Germans had beat the Russians and then we went in with Patton and took, you know, then Russia might be a free country right now.
Well,
because, again, going back to Fatima, you know, loop this in and make it a religious or theological conversation. She warned of the war and the fact that Russia was going to become anti-Christian. And it was going to be about 100 years, which it has been now as of October 2 years ago. But the fact is, all the communism, all the stuff we've had to deal with, the Cold Wars and all the threats and all the stuff that we're still dealing with today, to some degree, although Russia is a broken nation, I think, right now, and Putin can't even stand up on skates.
Well, it does say something. And
it does.
And Our Lady of Fatima, World War I was incredible with the trench warfare. If you see Ypres and Verdun, and I don't know if the Western world is necessarily quite recovered from that trench warfare. And then the destruction of cities in World War II, you know, all from London, Warsaw, Manila, Dresden, all this massive destruction.
Berlin, and, too, don't forget.
Yeah, and Our Lady of Fatima is a mother who cries out for her children, and they're duking it out. They're fighting amongst each other. Now, Gallery talks about something here. This is the, if you will, not just the great skipper, the admiral who is about teamwork, but he's also the, you know, he philosophizes. He says, the U-boat crews were average human beings no different from you and me. They were products of our Western civilizations whose destiny on this earth put them in a spot which demanded that rational human beings become ruthless about certain things. And you can't conduct submarine warfare in a kindly, humane manner any more than you can blast a sleeping city off the map benevolently. So this century, and I think this ties into the apparitions of Fatima after 100 years, the last century was just so, and today we're talking about the Battle of the Atlantic, and two men, two Chicagoans, one an admiral, one a priest, they're engaged in this. And John Ireland was a chaplain, too. He was part of the war effort. So the whole Western world, and it became a global conflict because, of course, the submarine is, you know, captured off the coast, Cape Blanco, I guess, right off the coast of West Africa.
Should have been caught in Capitiva.
So you know, it's a global conflict. And so Fatima, the message is that we have some serious issues, of course, with violence, how we arbitrate differences, you know, between nation states, how ideologies come along. You mentioned communism. And we had to have a certain rapport. We had to send all those supplies. Here's a capitalistic country like ourselves. All these liberty ships, all of them trying to be protected by people like Admiral Gallery and the valiant American sailors, right? And a Western country, too, Germany, which got corrupted by National Socialism. And not all the sailors on board these ships were Nazis, okay? They were And Gallery shows a real gesture of magnanimity. And he captured the last skipper. Remember, there were three skippers on board the U-505. So the last one's name was Lange, L-A-N-G-E, Lang, I guess. That's how you pronounce it.
How would you pronounce it in
German? I couldn't tell. Oh, my gosh. Lang or something like
Langehosen.
I don't know if he was related to one of the strongest priests in the world at one time, Father Lang, who had the same last name in Notre Dame. He used to, he was a bodybuilder. He used to train the Notre Dame football team back in the 60s.
But really?
Yeah, they had the same. I guess he was the fourth strongest man in the world. Anyhow, that's a
I read the Notre Dame strength training book when I was in college so I could get bigger and stronger.
Well,
that's why I throw you around the room all the time, even though you're bigger than me.
Well, if we ever get you on the basketball court, look
I'm ready to go,
in
buddy.
Baseball. In baseball, you can take me on. And I know.
You and I have done that.
Your fastball, it burns a hole in my baseball mitt, I must
admit.
You
always give me the rubber ball. I said, let's play with a real baseball, buddy. But you want to go hoops? I'll hoop with you.
You name it. We played the Chicago Bears in 1995.
That was a long time
this
ago.
This was 4 years after Father Gallery called me.
I'm going to play 16 in softball tonight. That's nuts. I mean, honestly, I'm going to have broken knuckles.
I'll play you right now. Our basketball team of priests.
What are you doing after lunch?
I ain't getting any younger now.
Come on, let's go.
All right.
Are you calling me out?
We got to finish this program.
You called me out. I didn't call you out. Oh, yeah. You started
talking
smack to
me, buddy. We got important topics
to
talk about. We've been talking about teamwork on the ship by the U-505. We've been talking about what else? A little bit about the unity and the brotherhood and about Fatima.
How about when you tried to throw me in the Chicago River on Michigan Avenue Bridge?
Oh, we won't go through that. Anyhow, so the...
They thought I was beating up a priest.
So back again.
Because I didn't want to run in a suit.
Let's talk a little bit about John Ireland Gallery. Come on. John Ireland Gallery wrote to Cardinal Stritch in the 1960s or 50s. This was so cool. He was pastor of St. Cecilia. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Which doesn't exist anymore because I was listening to the show earlier.
Very good. In 71 or 72, unfortunately, the church got demolished. But I went through our archives, and it says that Father Gallery came back. He did some consulting work as a go-between the military, the vicariate, military vicariate for our chaplains and the archdiocese, because Chicago had a number of chaplains, as we do. 20-some priests are buried at where Gallery is buried at the National cemetery rights outside of Washington, D.C. So there was a lot of teamwork. So John Ireland is writing back and forth, giving commentary how we can do a better job with our chaplain program. But he also becomes the pastor. Meanwhile, he's a busy guy. He not only writing about what it means to be a chaplain, how we can work with the government, he is trying to get the U-505, which took a number of years to get to the city. He had to get drum up, Colonel McCormick. He got him involved. He got all these civic leaders. So we're talking about a very prominent pastor at St. Cecilia's. The neighborhoods are changing. Kenwood, there's a lot of blight. Some of the buildings, over 100 years old. They need to be torn down. And Gallery is such, he's such a great guy, John Ireland. He talks about bringing unity to the neighborhood. You know, no wonder he called me up and says, we got to bring people together. And I think in terms of racial harmony in the 50s, the Archdiocese was really involved with that. And in his writings, he talks about really integrating neighborhoods on the south side. Now, his parish, I guess, was kind of caught right where the Dan Ryan comes through. And so when that happened, the Dan Ryan gets built in the 50s through the Eisenhower administration. The neighborhood just gets broken up.
And so did his church go?
In 1971. I guess it was just, you and I are going to have to go explore that area sometime.
After we play basketball?
We could do it.
We could do it.
You know, this city is so awesome. Chicago is so awesome. There's so much to see, so many sites, so many historical things that tell us about our background.
Well, the interesting thing is where we are right now. This building, because you can tell the story, but this church, St. Stanislaus Koska, the Kennedy goes around it. And why is that? Father?
Because of our clout back in the day, I think. I don't know if Raskinkowski at that time was able to negotiate, maybe his father, but technically this whole rectory should have been plowed under so the expressway could have made a straight line right right into the loop. But that wasn't going to happen because this parish, this parish is like the
how do you say no in Polish? This parish said no,
neck, neck. Exactly. I put that. I put that on my parking spot at St. Constance. Don't park it. Don't park. No, neck.
They do
no,
anyway. No, though. Yeah. You have to get the tow truck.
Neck park.
You'll know. Have to call rendered services to get them to tow the illegal parking.
I couldn't do that. Anyhow, so the. So this parish is awesome. There's no way they're going to tear it down. Something happened on the south side, unfortunately. So Gallery eventually becomes pastor of St. Christina's. And so John Ireland is an awesome, awesome priest. He's one of our top guys in the history books. And it's great when brothers work together. And it's obviously these brothers did that.
All right. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
Sometimes in life, we are confronted with the tyranny of choice. I know, stop or go, hot or cold, up or down, this way or that way. You can contribute to Winds of Change, one way or the other. One way is to go to windsofchangeshow.com. Then click on Support Winds of Change Show in the upper right-hand corner of the page. The other is to go to ststandschurch.org and click on the radio tab to make your donation, one way or the other.
The Winds of Change. The Winds of Change. On AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
This is Bold Talk with Father Thomas Loyola.
We live in strange times, full of contradictions, many of which we create and then force upon ourselves. An example.
To hear the rest of this and other Bold Talks with Father Thomas Loya, visit taberlife.org and go to the main menu and click subscribe.
That's the quiz. We've got Kevin Matthews is on the air with me. Just
Kevin
me.
Matthews.
Just we're on the show. Kevin Matthews. Jimmy Shorts?
Oh, Kevin Matthews. Oh, yeah. I used to do some radio in Chicago for a couple of years. Yeah.
Couple.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, Kev. How you doing, buddy?
Good. I was just calling you back, and you threw me on the air.
That's what you did to people back in the day for about 25 years. We got Father Hyde in the studio. You got a question for Father Jim?
Hello, Kevin. Okay, Kevin, good to hear your voice.
Good to hear you. I have not talked to you in quite some time.
It's been a while. It's been a while. And I hear it sounds like you're very active, moving about, doing a number of.
Mary's keeping me very busy. I'm her roadie, Father.
Oh, awesome.
Hey, what's coming up
in
a couple weeks, Kev?
I'm speaking at St. Joe Parish down in Joliet, and that is on the 28th. I'm bringing mm-hmm. Broken Mary in on the 28th of May down in Joliet. So all you folks down in that area, you can just go to St. Joe's website. It's I'm really looking forward to that one because Tom Thayer, who used to play for the Chicago Bears, his mom is coming, and he's the voice of the Bears. So that's May 28th down in Joliet at St. Joe's. And then a big peaceful march with the statue of Broken Mary over at John Cantius Church on May 31st. I'll be speaking before we march at 7 o'clock in the church, and then we will march down Chicago Avenue over to Michigan Avenue and stop the old water tower. And it's a peaceful march. The statue of Broken Mary represents the brokenness in us all, including our city. And we'd love everybody to come. Kids can come. It's a beautiful, it'll be a candlelight march from St. John Cantius, May 31st, about a little over a mile march. And we welcome everybody.
Is it wrong?
No.
Is it wrong?
We need to. The city needs it. We need it.
Kevin's no.
Especially today of all days is the first day the apparitions of Fatima began. Well over, 103 years ago in Portugal, where Our Lady, Our Mother, comes to three shepherd children. So today was the first of six apparitions down in Fatima. And Mary's calling us today as we speak to be united and follow her son.
And you called me, and I'm glad I got a chance to say hello. And Father James probably has a word of wisdom for you, and then I'll call you back in about 10 minutes.
Yeah, please do. And Father James, I'd love to do more with you down in Notre Dame.
Okay, we will, because I know you're related to back in the day when we went there. You're related.
Father John Cavanaugh, the president of Notre Dame, is my cousin.
Yes.
And Father Frank, if you saw the movie Rudy, he's my cousin.
Yes.
So I have a lot of heritage down in Notre Dame.
Well, you know, at one time, Indiana and Illinois were all together as one. We were one diocese called the Diocese of Vincennes, you know, and we were one. And I was just recently at the Log Chapel at Notre Dame, and the first priest ordained for this area, it was a whole region, was Father Badden. So we are together as one. I'm glad you're going down there. I'm glad we're making these connections. Let's keep it up, Kevin. You're doing great work. And
you too, Father. And Mike, you are doing tremendous work. You give so much of your time to so many people.
Thank you, Kev.
I appreciate it. Okay, you take care.
Okay, brother.
I love you. Come do that march on May 31st.
Okay. Yes. Well, you and I will be on the air. You'll be on the air with me on the 30th.
Yes.
Well, so you'll be on the air, so you guys got nothing to do between 12 and 1 on Thursday, May 30th. I'll have Kevin, and maybe Jimmy Shorts will even be there.
I doubt it.
He wants to get paid, right?
All right?
How about Ronald Reagan? We'll see. Come on. We'll talk to you later.
Can Ronald Reagan say goodbye to us, Kev?
Please.
Oh, okay.
He hung up.
Anyhow.
Well, there you go. I had him going the last time he was on the air with me. We had the gym shorts, and he was like ripping me. He's like, you like the Cubs or the Sox? I'm like, I like them both. You can't. You can't like them both. You're an idiot. Oh, okay.
Don't we have a great city with all its problems, Mike?
We do. And I mean,
we do. And don't we have a great archdiocese?
We do. Well, we do. We absolutely do. And you know, obviously, I made the movie about Cardinal George, which is you were a big part of as well.
Thank you.
I would be remiss if I didn't mention that the first half of that movie that I made on his life was fed questions by you. And then you didn't want to be in it. You're like, oh, I'm just
a
silent guy.
You know, it's interesting that our church, you know, our city produces people like the galleries, and just you know, Sweet Home Chicago.
Well, you're Father Jim Chicago. I told the bishop that. He says, "Oh, I didn't know he was Father Jim J. Chicago." Oh, that's who he is.
Well, I like Chicago. You know, it's the from the time of the Algonquin tribe who wandered these lands. You know, and you know, we have a great history, and I just think the galleries, you know, represent that, you know, Sweet Home Chicago. They came back. I mean, in 55, you were talking about, as we're going to conclude the program, about bringing the U-505. Now, I'm not talking about the recent renovation job, which was impressive and engineering feat. But back in the 50s, and again, to our audience, 20 million tons under the sea. It's worthwhile. It's a great read.
Amazon's going to have a spike on
that
now. If anyone's listening to the show.
I hope so, because it tells just these two individuals, but it tells at the very end about how they moved in the mid-50s, how they brought it down the St. Lawrence Seaway. It was docked, I think, on the East Coast for a while. The Navy used it as a training vessel. And then they had to, but the Navy said, no way, we're going to pay, you know, for this. You got to raise the funds. But the generosity of people, like the Great Lakes Dredging and Dock Company in the book, it talks about how Mr. Goodyear stepped up to the plate and also the American Shipbuilding Company of Cleland. All these companies work together with the city. And then it talks about Admiral Gallery going down the Lawrence River with on the Pauline L. Moran, which is the Coast Guard cutter or the tug. And the seamen who were part of that, the Lake Michigan, not just the Battle of the Atlantic, but there was a lot going on in our lakes, you know. And so we have a great history.
Getting it across Lake Shore Drive was quite the chore, too. They've got documentation and pictures of that.
Oh, yeah. They got some.
Had to shut it down for how long?
They had, I think, just for a day, or they had to move
quickly. But they shut it down. Can you imagine shutting Lake Shore Drive down? Like what Kevin's March is all about, and Father Josh wanted to call it a procession rather than a march because he wants to make sure it's not perceived as a protest or a march.
Well,
it's a procession. But they're closing Chicago Avenue down that Friday night for the procession, and then Michigan Avenue for a little bit. But to shut Lakeshore Drive down for a whole day.
Let's just remember that I think the galleries, in conclusion, can teach us a great deal about these were classy. They had noblesse oblige. They were two individuals who were educated. They were men of faith. It came out in their lives. They made the society better. That's our church in its best moments. They were in that context. And I think given the problems that we face, you know, as Kevin says, we are broken today. And
we're very broken.
We think of, you know, what's going on in the Middle East now, right now, on the, the Strait of Hormuz and with Iran. And you think of the issues in our government and leadership, issues in our church. We can't get through this period without the teamwork that's necessary in a crisis. And I don't care if, you know, again, these submariners on the U-505 taught us about teamwork. They had to just get through. We don't agree, obviously, with how they were fighting the battle or what they were fighting for, but their teamwork taught us. But we prevailed. America prevailed, and we pray that
and these guys had to fight because it's like you fight or you
you die.
Right. You can't. We're not taking any traitors. So to cap that off, that's great. I mean, I love the exhibit. I haven't been there since they moved it, so I want to go over and see it. And one of only two Stukas that are in existence is in the museum as well, huh, Padre?
Will that be in 6 months another topic of maybe it will be another radio
program? I can't
program
do a whole show like this.
On the Stuka.
No, we got to do. It's a variety show.
I don't know if the Stuka
like
has
laughing
any faith
Come on,
dimension.
It's gotta be a,
you know?
No.
I don't know if it has a faith dimension, you know.
But I wanted to touch on one thing really quickly.
It did a lot of bad things.
Before we go.
A lot of bad, evil things. Oh, my gosh.
Polish people.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
But
bad things.
What I wanted to cover briefly, since I wasn't here early, I wasn't here on time.
Yeah, you're going to do penance. You're going to have to do penance.
I had a confession yesterday, actually, so I'm pretty clean.
We don't want to hear it.
You don't? Well, I'm not sharing it.
You better not.
But Medjugorje, the pilgrimages to Medjugorje were approved by Pope Francis. And you've been there. You had a nice trip over there. So I just wanted you to touch on that briefly in the last 2 minutes we've got.
Okay. I went with Guy Murphy, his group. What's his group called again?
Totally Yours.
Totally Yours Pilgrimages. To us. Right. Yes. And it was a great pilgrimage group. Faith is there. What really impressed me was just the religiosity, the desire. A lot of Irish were there, I remember, Italians. And it was just about getting back to Mary. It's very much like Fatima, you know, getting back to, prayer and fasting and the rosary. And
actually going to be on my show next week to dive into this. But I just wanted you to address the fact that the Pope has now clarified that it's okay for
he hasn't put a prohibition on it. It just, you know.
No, but word came out yesterday that
he actually approved pilgrimages to
Medjugorje.
Well, his big thing is on pilgrimage. You know, as a people, we go on pilgrimage. We're mission disciples on pilgrimage. So that's, I think that would fit in perfectly.
Yeah, you're too busy writing your homilies. I ran into a fellow priest yesterday. Not that I'm a priest. Your fellow brother priest.
Mm-hmm.
And he said somebody was complaining about your homily.
Oh, really?
That you put 4 weeks' worth of homilies into one. Like, you're always covering so many things because you're such a smart guy. If you're so smart, why are you hanging out with me? Okay. Well, we're out of time. I hear the music pitter-pattering in my ears. So, Father James, thanks for being here, buddy.
Thank you, Michael. On this day of Fatima.
It's time to take you to the cleaners on the basketball court.
Anytime.
Or the golf course. All right. To everybody, sorry I was late. Thanks for listening. I'll be back next Tuesday with Guy Murphy. God bless, and see you later.
to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time.